Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of adult ages, it's your friendly neighborhood Pinhead 198 back with another episode. And we got quite a bit to talk about this time as we go out on hiatus for a little while. Not for long, but I got a couple of things I want to clear up before I do the next episode after this one. I'm currently reading... Make sure I got the guy correctly. I'm currently reading the Halloween Ends novelization, which is supposed to be, and it already has been, drastically different from the movie. We'll see if for better or for worse, written by Paul Brad Logan. So far, he's able to do what the four fuckwits could not do that wrote Halloween Ends, including Danny McBride and Gordon Green. Real hard thing to do, and since we're on the topic, we're going to discuss, which was just released recently for the public. Yes, it was behind Oppenheimer, I understand this, but now it has been released to the mass public, the Exorcist Believer trailer. We're going to discuss, I am not reacting to that piece of shit. We will discuss certain things. And look at the. I'll look over the trailer, but I'm not going to react to it, because fuck David Gordon Green and fuck Jason Blum. They can all suck each other's dicks and suck each other's dicks into oblivion where they're seen no more. I've had enough of this shit. I'm sick of horror movie grifters. I'm sick of wrestling grifters, but I'm really sick of horror movie grifters that pretend that they're something that they're really not, just to grift off the money in the bag and the success of horror. We're not doing that anymore. Fuck them. Their feet are going to be held to the fire from now on. I hate to be this guy that has to be negative all the time, but if you're going to keep ruining horror and you're going to make a disgrace out of it just to make a quick buck, I'm going to hold your feet to the fire and fuck you in the ass, because that's what you deserve. And that's what's going to start coming, because you guys have no respect for horror or a movie industry whatsoever. So we don't have any respect for your fucking ass. Go fuck yourself. It's open season now. So we're going to get into it. We're also going to talk about AEW spectacle that was Blood and Guts. We'll look over the couple of weeks, and we'll also talk about NXT's Great American Bash very briefly. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on wrestling, because we got some horror movie shit to talk about. We also have some talk about... They're not confirmed, but there could be rumors of a Halloween television series, which... Hooray for that. We'll also talk about Alien Dark Descent, and that, by that point, after all the rambling and raving and ranting, should be the time to wrap up the episode, and then we'll discuss what we should be doing in the next one, which will be a couple weeks, maybe a month, I don't know. It depends on what's going on. I got personal stuff going on with my family. My grandmother's in the hospital, so we got to deal with that first, but I got time today, because... With that being said, let's just start off with Alien Dark Descent. This is a budgeted title. It's in the fame of like a SOCOM. Not directly Command and Conquer, but it's got similar how you it's a strategy game, so you have to strategize. If you don't, the Xenomorphs are going to wreck your shit and fuck you right up the ass with their tail. Like, there's no way around. I even tried, like, you can, and it doesn't matter what difficulty you're on. This is one of those games where easy is hard, or easy is a little above normal, where it's a little harder. Normal is hard, and hard is like, go fuck myself. And then you got nightmare mode, I'm sure. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure they have a nightmare mode where one hit, and you're dead on impact. Because, you know, I love those kind of difficulties. Those are always fun. Yeah. Yeah, as our boy LA Knight would say. But overall, it's not a decent game. It's a good game, because it's a budgeted title. They didn't have the balls to charge $60 for this thing, which is good, because $60 to $70, because that's just outrageous. You're asking too much from consumers when it's not even a AAA budget. So you shouldn't be charging AAA prices. However, this game does not do it, and it's a step in the right direction for Alien. Alien, as most of us know, especially those of us who've been fans of Alien for years, Alien has not been in a good state of mind. It's really been the drizzling shits lately as far as Alien is concerned. And I don't care if it's movies, comic books, video games. Alien and Predator before Prey have been absolutely in the doghouse, and I don't understand why. This shit is not that hard to do. You just put a group of people, hopefully, more preferably the Colonial Marines, because they stand a better chance. Not everyone can be Ripley and use their brain and this and that. Sometimes we gotta have, like, grunts. All you want is some Colonial Marines and a swarm of Xenomorphs, but you gotta build tension. You can't just have people spray. This isn't James Cameron's Aliens. And even in that movie, there was tension. You can't just have Colonial Marines spraying the fuck out of aliens and vice versa. That's not a story. You have to build a story around it and make some tension and build some terror. And that's not really that hard. These studios make it harder than it needs to be. It does not need to be this fucking difficult. We're not talking about curing cancer or splitting the fucking atom here. It's a basic alien movie. It's not that hard. So when you look over the lineage and the history of Alien and Predator, it's not been good. But this game's a step in the right direction. There's some, like I said, there's some real strategy that needs to be involved. The Xenomorphs, the rate they come at you, get you on edge, which is awesome because it makes you feel like you're watching an alien film. And you're like, okay, and you have the beep, beep, beep coming around. You're like, okay, they're coming from this direction. We know we got to set up some strategy, some weaponry, and ways to get out. Because if you're not careful, you can set up all the weapons you want all the live long day, the turret machines, the machine gun. If you back yourself in a corner, you're fucked because they're going to destroy those machines and paint you in the corner and you're dead. Like, they're very intelligent, like they should be, but very brutal and ruthless. It's a very fun game. I can't say I highly recommend it. I highly recommend it for diehards of Alien and diehards of strategy game. If you like those, even if you don't like Alien, if you're a diehard of strategy games and the real-time strategy games where you have to do shit like Command and Conquer, like XCOM, you will love this game because it's in the Alien franchise, but they really put some time and effort, you can tell, into the game. They didn't just go, eh, we got the Alien IP, so we're just gonna phone in a shitty game like we did with Alien vs. Predator Extinction. So, eh. They actually put in effort and time, and it's worth your money. It's worth your time, too. And if it goes even further down in budget, which I'm sure it will in the next couple of months, especially as we're heading in toward, because this is the last day of July, as we're heading close toward Halloween season, which officially really starts in September, the middle of September. Let's not be foolish here. They'll lower the price, and when they do, I highly recommend it, especially for playing, especially if you're streaming on Twitch or YouTube or something. It's definitely good to stream for a Halloween horror month game. It's very fun. I had a good time with it. I'm not done with it. I still got a long way to go because the game is difficult. Especially when you don't put on your thinking cap. You just want to go in and gun through. I'm telling you right now, that strategy will not work. You can try 100 times, and 100 times out of the 100 times, you're going to win zero, because this game is, the AI is smart to adapt to the shit that you're doing. So if you just go in guns blazing, one, first of all, you run out of resources quick, and second of all, they multiply Xenomorphs as you're running out of resources, so you have to strategize. They'll even fuck with you and give you a point where, yeah, I got them all, I feel good. You're walking down, you think you're getting close to the end, and you hear beep, beep, beep. Then you're like, fuck, I only got 3 bullets left. Well, you're fucked, because they're going to kill you, because they're going to come like a swarm of locusts and eat you alive. So you really do have to strategize with this game and be careful, but if that's your bag, I highly recommend it. If it's not, it's okay. But if you like those kind of games and you love Alien and the franchise, this is a high recommendation. I give it a 8 out of 10. Definitely 8 out of 10. That's high for me, especially for strategy games, which I'm not a huge fan of them. I don't hate them. But my thing is Command and Conquer, and that's where I leave it. XCOM I play a little bit of, I'm not a big fan of, but this is a good game, so 8 out of 10, definitely recommend it. Like I said, all I can say is, though, you better strategize your ass off, because otherwise, you're going to be given a Xenomorph boot up your ass. So, but it's a good step in the right direction, so I hope we can get an Alien Isolation 2 somewhere in the distant future. That would be nice. An official Alien Isolation, not this fuckwit brain dead bullshit mobile game garbage that you put out there and said that's the sequel. Fuck you. We're talking about a true fucking sequel to Alien Isolation, not this mobile game bullshit. The fuck, miss me with that garbage. And it's, speaking of garbage, let's move on to our next topic, which is Exorcist, The Exorcist Believer. And I'll tell you, you know, there was a show on Fox called The Exorcist. It wasn't great, wasn't perfect, but it continued the story of Reagan and her mother very well. Obviously, they didn't get Linda Blair or Ellen or whatever, because neither one of them wanted to do a continuation. Funny how this is working now, and we're getting her back. Blum must have really dropped that bag to get her back to play fucking the mother. But Chris McNeil, but fuck, is it gonna be worth it? Because this shit looks average. This October, during my birthday month, which is another insult by you, Mr. Jason Blum, a further reason why I want to kick your cock right up into your throat. Because you're a scumbag horror movie grifter and you should have your kneecaps broken. Or at the very least, your jaw should be wired shut for the rest of your life so you can't make decisions anymore via the mouth. And then break your hands so you can't write any decisions like this shit into existence. David Gordon Green, you're no better. Send your ass back to comedy where you belong. Make Pineapple Express 2. Nobody wants any of the horror shit you're giving out because it's fucking grot. Just like you as a human being. You're garbage. And see, I'm already getting pissed off because this shit is so stupid. But we've already had a continuation, whether for better or for worse. I'll tell you right now, the Exorcist television show on Fox is better than The Heretic Part 2. And it's better than any of the prequels we got, those dumbass things. And I haven't seen it yet, but knowing Gordon Green's track record and definitely knowing Jason Blum's track record, this ain't going to be any better than the show either. This shit is fucking asinine. So let's look over some of it. Sure, we don't have it up too loud because we're not reviewing this piece of shit. So we got to turn it up a little bit because there's something in this trailer that really rubs me the wrong way. Then you got the dee 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 dee. Yeah, you're doing the member berries. So in this, they're talking about exorcism being a ritual. We'll listen to it. While the fucking Tubular Bells plays in the background, that, you know, that ain't selling nothing to nobody, especially diehard exorcism. So let's listen to this.
Exorcism is a ritual. Every culture, every religion, they all use different methods. It's going to take all of them.
So see, right there, exorcism is in every culture and every religion, and we're going to have to combine all these. So that means it's no longer based on Catholic, not even just Catholic, but no Christian values or Catholicism. You're not going to use a Catholic priest to exorcise the two demons, because now there's two girls possessed. Ooh, because we've really upped the stakes. You know, the first couple of times it was only one, but now we got two. Oh, look out. Let's get our wallets open and pay for the tickets now, because we got two. Because two for the price of one, that's just so much better, right? Yeah, okay. But the point of what I'm trying to say is we're taking, and it has nothing to do with your beliefs. I don't care if you believe in God or don't. What I'm talking about is the basis, and I know you're trying to subvert expectations, David, and you're trying to make something original, which you're not capable of. You're too inept. So you're not capable of making original horror. We found this out through Halloween, the three Halloween films you did. So we know you're not original. But their version of originality is to take out all the exorcism as far as exorcists, and we got to combine. So we got to go to voodoo and hoodoo. We got to go to Catholicism. We got to go through Buddha. We got to go through all these other methods and combine them together like they're the fucking Power Rangers or Voltron. Combining together fucking a whole unit to exorcise these two little girls. Spoiler alert. They don't get the job done because we know this. Because we got two more fucking movies in the trilogy to come out. So they really, that all that shit really don't work at the end of the day, because we know there's going to be two more fucking movies. And from what I'm being told, they don't even have the faith in it enough to do this shit, to have them all released on theatrical. This one will be released theatrical, and from what they said, from what Jason said, they're going to release the other two via the cock, exclusively, to build up those Peacock subscriptions, you know. Because you guys are drowning. Because the WWE can't even save your lifeless asses. It's pathetic. Then that means you shouldn't have fucking done it in the first place, you brain dead idiots. This makes no sense to me. And it's extremely frustrating. Because David Gordon Green does not know how to make a horror film.
Oh, Pinhead, why don't you do it then? You think you
get me behind? I'll tell you like Grandpa did in the House of a Thousand Corpses. You get me behind the wheel of that bitch, I'll show you driving. But you're too busy giving, you know, credit and shit to people that don't deserve it and have no concept of what horror is. It is not that hard to understand what horror is. You get a good scare, a good story, some high tension, boom, there you go. It's not that hard. But because we're so consumed on making bags and doing elevated fucking horror, and my horror movies are elevated and they're far more sophisticated than any of the movies. You guys act like all we do is watch fucking slasher movies. Elevated horror has been a thing before you guys even coined the term. They didn't need to call it elevated horror because they knew they were better than you, and they weren't fucking arrogant enough to think that they were changing. They didn't care. They just wanted to make good horror stories. And in the process, Rosemary's Baby is an elevated horror movie if you want to get down to brass tactics. That could be considered an elevated horror movie because you're talking about a woman's choice. An abortion at the end of the day, because those questions come because she's fathering, she's carrying the spawn of fucking Satan. But the subtext is about a woman's right to choose abortion, and all, like, you guys act like you did elevated horror before the fucking 60s and the 70s. Get the fuck out of here. Your brain deads weren't even around then, and this is why I hate the new generation. Because they think this copy and paste generation thinks that the copy and paste shit they did is original and that they did it first. You guys didn't do fuck all. While horror was already being elevated, you guys weren't even swimming around in your fucking daddy's sack. You weren't even integrating into your mama's box at the time. So what the fuck are you talking about? You guys are unoriginal, brain dead pieces of dog shit. And this is why we get movies like Bodies, 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 and Halloween Ends, and fucking The Exorcist Believer. Because you take the ideas that my generation and the generations that came well before me that perfected this shit, you steal from that because you know, wink, wink, that they were better than you. You just don't want to admit it. And you run it into the ground like you did with Halloween. Like you're going to do with The Exorcist. Like you did with John Carpenter's fucking... Or excuse me. Like you did with Stephen King's Firestarter. Like you did with Stephen King's remake of The Stand. You run it into the fucking ground and go, oh, look at me. I'm the last in the big spenders. I elevated horror. No, you didn't. You degenerated horror into the fucking Texas outhouse shitter. That's what you did. Congratulations. What do I always say? You're doing the fucking Lord's work. You brain dead fucking zombies. I have no respect for Jason Blum or David Gordon Green. And shit like this is the reason. Don't make me sing, you know. And the reason is you. You are the reason that horror is not only in the fuck. It's not dead, because dead means non-existent. It's not dead, but it's the reason why it's in the doldrums and it's in timeout right now. Because fuckwits like you, David Gordon Green. Fuckwits like everybody who makes Bodies, Bodies, Bodies and shit like that. You guys are the culprits of why horror movies are going into the dark ages. It's extremely frustrating. It is highly frustrating, and I don't know what else I can say about it. I will not be seeing this movie except for... Who am I kidding? Let's not. I'm a masochist, and I'm going to see this opening weekend probably just to see if I'm proven right or if I'm eating crow. So I'm not even going to lie, but I'm going to go in it kicking and screaming. I'll tell you right now. Fuck Exorcist Believer. It wasn't necessary. Didn't you learn from the last films? I'm not even just talking about Heretic. Legion Exorcist 3 is fine, but Exorcist 3 is not... When you look at Exorcist 3, it's not even tied to the fucking... It's not even tied to the original Exorcist, technically. It can be argued that it's not even... It's not even in the canonical existence of... So, let's look at it. The only... And I'm sorry. The only tie-in... I want to get this right, too. The only tie-in you can tie in to Exorcist 3 is not Father Marin, but the other father that flung out the window. I can't remember his name. But those who've seen The Exorcist know who I'm talking about. The guy that got possessed by Pazuzu and flew out the window. Father Marin had a heart attack and died. I'm not Max von Sydow's character, but... Oh, it's going to piss me off. I got to find it. Father Karras, Jason Miller's character. The only thing you can tie Exorcist 3 Legion, and I call it Legion because there's a Legion cut that's better slightly than the original. The only fucking connection you can have is the detective in Exorcist 3. His best friend was Father Karras, Jason Miller's character. That's it. So I don't even technically count Exorcist, and I like Exorcist 3, but I don't even count that as an Exorcist film, because none of the fucking basis, and I'm not just talking about Reagan, I'm talking about any of the fucking shit, that it's about a serial killer possessed by Satan at the end of the day. It's a glorified movie, it's a glorified The Devil Made Me Do It movie. As a standalone film, I really enjoy it. As an Exorcist film, it's just only Exorcist by name. Yes, I get it. Blatty directed the film. I get it. It's still not an Exorcist movie. It doesn't tie anything to anything. Not even toward the end, except for the father, Jason Miller's character, coming in to save me now! Like he's having a satanic orgasm. You know, that's the only fucking connection. Other than that, what do you got? Then you got the two prequels that were absolute fucking dog shit. Exorcist had... Where do you think... What in your mind goes, you know, we have this IP that only one actually made blockbuster, gangbuster numbers. The rest were all shit. Most of them were straight to DVD. Let's make a new movie out of that IP that no one gives a fuck about. Yeah, that's a real brain trust genius move to do. But look who we're talking about. We're talking about, once again, Jason Blum and David Gordon Green, two of the dumbest fuckwits to ever grace the horror movie genre in its history. And we've had some dumb fucks grace horror, but these guys take the cake. Enough of it. I'm sorry for it, but it boils my fucking blood, and it makes me want to go out and cut fucking throats. Because it's so disrespectful. Absolutely disrespectful. And the only way to stop the disrespect is to vote with our wallets and stop paying for these fucking things. Now that I think about it, no, I'm not going to fucking go see this movie. I'm not going to give them. I will watch it when it drops on Peacock in a couple of weeks after, because it's such a bomb. They have no choice but to drop it on Peacock. So, fuck you. I'll wait. Have it paid through my subscription. Fuck them. Next. Next, we move on to AEW. We're going to get the wrestling out of the way real quick, and then we'll talk about... I don't even know if these are legitimate rumors. I think there's just a YouTuber going on and on about shit that ain't official. Not official. I don't even know if it's a real rumor, but we'll go on legitimate shit. We'll go AEW versus WWE next. This week's Dynamite was trash. It was absolute trash. Because they just came off the week before of Blood and Guts. They blew their load on Blood and Guts. And I'll tell you, it wasn't a very good load blown. Because Blood and Guts was lackluster. Blood and Guts is a glorified War Games. It's Tony Khan stealing Dusty Rhodes' WCW War Games thing that a lot of people don't know. Dusty came up with War Games. Cody Rhodes is daddy. May he rest in peace. The point of the matter is, Dusty Rhodes came up with War Games for WCW decades ago. Tony Khan took it, took the idea, stole it, and completely overblew it. So it's like how we had Hell in a Cell, and that was, well, Eric Bischoff came and go, well, that wasn't good enough. Now we have to have Elimination Chamber. It's a Hell in a Cell with more added on to it. With chambers. This is the same thing with Blood and Guts. They took Dusty's idea of War Games and added shit that didn't need to be added onto it, especially the height. It's much higher than a traditional War Games cage. And we'll get into one of those moments too, where two idiots actually had common sense and wherewithal not to kill each other. I mean literally kill each other. We'll get into that in a minute. But the point of the matter is the cage is much higher. The chaining around the cage is a lot harsher, so, you know, for more blood and to hurt people more, because, you know, fuck the safety of the professional wrestlers or the sports entertainers. We got to go for the gusto, especially with this bloodlust fucking crowd in AEW. But it was just goofy. The Golden Elite, excuse me, the Golden Elite ended up winning. You had some of the stupidest spots. Like one spot, it was Will or Yuta, whatever his fucking name is. I don't even. He's so forgettable. Like toilet paper to wipe your ass with is more memorable. Especially even the one you flush down the toilet is a more memorable character than Will or Yuta. But Will or Yuta, and I don't know which young cuck, it might have been Matt, Jason, one of them was down and one of them was up. These two idiots go to a fucking, it has to be at least 40 stories up. Maybe that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but there's at least goes up to like 18 floors. If you're in a traditional building where you're going up, like there's at least, it goes up 18 floors. These two dumbasses were fighting at the top, and one of them was going to throw the other one off. And at the very least, if he wouldn't have died and he got thrown off, because they were trying to re-resurrect the Mick Foley Undertaker King of the Ring high spot. Well, if one of them had gone off, it wouldn't have resulted the same way Mick Foley. One of them would either have died or they would have been paralyzed and all bones broken. and they would have been paralyzed for the rest of their fucking lives. Because unlike Mick Foley, there was no fall to have fall. The announcer's table is up toward the ramp. It's nowhere near the ring. Because, you know, AEW is different. They can't have their announcers, you know, because why have your announcers by the ring to set up for that old cliche of having someone go through the announce table? We're original. We're going to go up to the ramp. Not for nothing. WWE did that a few years earlier than you. It didn't work out and they went back to their tradition, but WWE's done it before. They did it when they were going through Spike TV. There's a little history lesson for you, Tony. You're not the first to do this. Hell, the people you love copying so much, WCW, they did it before you too. So, let's stop this. But the announcers are up near the ramp of the entrance ramp, so there's no harm, no foul to them. So there's no fall, there's nothing to break the fall except their necks. Well, one of them, Yuta went, uh-uh, and stepped back. You literally saw him go, uh-uh, and Matt Buck, or whichever cuck fuck Buck was there, looked down and went, yeah, this ain't such a good idea. And they proceeded to have common sense and wherewithal to move away from the edge and start fighting again. And then Yuta just ended up running away and going down. It's like, fuck this shit. We're nuts for even being up here. Well, then Matt Buck proceeds to drop, because I don't know, it's like a bag of magic beanstalk beans. He got him out of no fucking where. You didn't see him anywhere when they were fighting. You didn't see him anywhere where they almost had attempted murder. But out of nowhere, he had a bag of tacks. He must have pulled them right out of his fucking North Carolina ass, because he had a bag of tacks and he just dropped them, which I like that touch. I like the touch that he did, that he didn't climb all the way down, and like he dropped him through holes. He's like, fuck you guys. He dropped him through the holes of the fucking top of the cage and they trickled down and, you know, perfectly landed for everybody else down there to get destroyed with tacks. My question is just, where the fuck did you get them? The same place Jack got his magic beanstalk beans? Like, where the fuck did you pull these things out of? I joked out of your ass, but the camera was on you the whole time. I didn't see you digging up your ass, so where the fuck did you get them? Now we got magic in AEW. This is what I'm talking about. Exposing the business. So now we got fucking magic in AEW. Then we proceed to have someone pull out one of the fakest looking bed of fucking nails I've ever seen. And it would have helped if it would have been okay. Like, guys, I know a guy, my boy Dan, we talk about him. Dan was entertained by this. He told me, and I'm not knocking people that are entertained. It would have been entertaining to me if the cameraman, for most of the fucking time, had a mid shot. Not a pull, complete pull away, but a mid shot where you see the bed nails and you go, okay. And they're slamming each other. That would have been entertaining. But no, the cameraman had to pan in multiple times right into the fucking front of the bed of nails. And it looked so phony. By the time they were being body slammed, you're like, stop it. You could throw your little sister on that shit. It wouldn't hurt. Well, it would hurt, but it wouldn't be to the, oh, God, I need a hospital. Like, they were, it's like, stop it. Kenny Omega literally got his hand smashed. This is so incompetent. Kenny Omega got his hand smashed on the bed of nails for 3 minutes. He lifted his hand up. Nothing. No blood, no nothing. I'm not kidding you. Literally 90 seconds later, he gets kicked in the head and then his hand's gushing blood. I'm like, what the fuck is this stupid shit? He got kicked in the head. They panned away. They showed carnage. And then 90 seconds later, out of nowhere, he puts his hand to lift himself up on the bed of nails. And blood just gushing out like a Hellraiser movie. It's like, how? John Moxley was stomping on your fucking hand the whole time and squishing it in there. Nothing. You lift yourself up and then boom, evil dead buckets of blood just explode out of your hand. Like, it's insanity. And it's this kind of stupidity that really irks me. Because that could be cleaned up and make it look realistic and look like a bloodbath. And at the end of the day, what was worse about it is there's been some very very, very extremely violent blood and guts matches. Especially the one with the Pinnacle and Inner Circle. This blood and guts, it made the WWE simulated violence look like it was extreme. It's called blood and guts. Now, I don't want to be that guy, and I know I keep saying this, but it's true. I don't want to be that guy that has absolute bloodlust, and I want to see everybody carted off to the ICU. However, it's called fucking blood and guts for crying out loud. Show some blood. You don't need to do guts, because you guys tend to go over the line. But let's see a little more blood than a little shit here. Kenny Omega's hand bleed. Moxley always bleeds, so that's not even a fucking surprise or what do you call it? That's not even a present anymore. He bleeds every week, so it's irrelevant now. It was like, we knew you were going to bleed, Moxley. You can't go a match without bleeding. I'm talking about the other guys that didn't even get busted open. Like Claudio, he should have been pouring blood. You don't see him bleed like that because he's not that kind of wrestler. That's why I love him. But he should have been pouring blood for the war he was in with the whole time. He was in there most of the fucking match. I don't get it. I thought Blood and Guts was mediocre at best. Blood and Guts, you lost the day for AEW. And then we continued on this Wednesday, and God, was AEW's Dynamite one of the most boring, uninspired episodes I've ever seen, because they were setting up for Saturday's Collision for the big tag team match of FTR versus Adam Cole and MJF, better than you, baby, this stupid faction. Spoiler alert, of course FTR won. They won in a gaga way where they rolled up Max and he got pinned 1-2-3. Which was fine because that saves both of the, that saves Adam Cole and MJF, because MJF got put in a quick small package, which makes you go, oh shit, which could have happened to anybody. And it also keeps the titles on FTR, which should have been, and makes them a powerhouse tag team. Finally, Tony Khan did something right. You know, every dog has his day. A clock's right at least twice a day. A broken clock is right at least twice a day. You throw enough shit at the wall, it sticks. We all know the cliches. He finally did something right. That was good. Whoop. The overall show was not boring, but it was not up to snuff. Once again, especially after that last week's tag team match with FTR and the Bullet Club Gold, which is match of the year contender. I will die on that hill. Even if I have to agree with Unky Dave Meltzer for once, he probably won't give it match of the year because it was actually good wrestling. He likes that gaga shit. So maybe I'm wrong, but this was match of the year contender. They kind of blew a lot of their load. So in that defense, I will give them a pass because they blew a lot on that. They gave them a whole hour almost, and it was well worth it. This match was not terrible with FTR and MJF and Adam Cole, but when you see that Bullet Club Gold versus FTR match, and there weren't even stakes like this, like there were. Oh yeah, there was. The belt was on the line, so yeah. Like, you take two title matches, and it was like night and day. But and then we ended with MJF crying in the ring because he didn't do it. And then they tried to make a heel. So what we've done is we've made MJF was a heel. He's babyface now. They were going to turn him heel with it. And Adam Cole said this to do it, man. You're my brother, but you got to do what you got to do. And MJF couldn't hit him with the bell. He said, I can't do it. I hate MJF now, man. They pussified him into the ground. And I've disowned him. I'm like, this is just, I hate MJF now. This shit is garbage. I want that villainous, cheating, hateful MJF. Nope. He threw the belt down. He couldn't do it. And Adam Cole and him hugged it out. And they did a brotherly love hug. And now MJF is still babyface. He sucks as babyface. It's so fucking cringe to see him as babyface. Because it's cringe when Adam Cole does it. That's why I don't like Adam Cole right now. We need them both as heels, hating each other. Or one of them has to be babyface, the other one has to be a nasty, disgusting heel. That's how this works. You can't have two baby faces going up against each other, and you can't have two heels doing it, technically. You could, but it very rarely works. Unless you have a smart, savvy, well-known person that knows this business like the back of their hand, like a Jim Cornette, like a Dutch Mantel, like a Jim Ross, like a Bruce Pritchard. Right now they got a Vince Russo running the business. That's not good. So that person's not intelligent enough to make this happen, and that's why. By Wimbledon, because they're going to Wimbledon, they're doing two shows. They're doing Wimbledon on the 27th at All In, and then they're going to do their regular All Out in September in Chicago, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. But they're going to Wimbledon. These guys got to turn on each other so we can have the Adam Cole versus MJF for the title. And secondly, we have to clean up, because it's true. CM Punk pulled out the X. He put a reminiscent of NWO once again. Tony Khan copying WCW and Monday Nitro and shit like that. He had CM Punk put a giant black spray-painted X on the NWA, far better title, AEW, A&W, root beer fucking heavyweight title, because he never lost it. MJF didn't beat him, he got suspended, and they never stripped Punk of the title, because, you know, Tony's so fucking brilliant. You suspend him, fine, you get rid, but they never stripped the title, and now we have a contention of two men who are legitimate champions now, because neither one of them beat each other. Although MJF does have a loss to CM Punk, but that was before the title reign he has gotten. No one ever beat Punk for his title. So now he has a legitimate claim of being called the real world champion. Because we don't have enough fucking shenanigans. The point of the matter is that's going to have to be cleared up before Wimbledon. It's definitely going to have to be cleared up before Chicago. Otherwise, you're going to have people walking. I'm already ready to walk. They haven't even announced the card, and it's the end of August. It's practically August 1st now, and they have not even started to develop the card for Wembley Stadium in London. A big show that's going to be their biggest show in history. They're not even developing the card. Make that make sense. Next up, we have the Great American Bash. NXT. It's no longer WWE, which it should be, but NXT, the Great American Bash. And overall, it was good. This is where I say AEW loses these next weeks. And this is where NXT WWE has won. Plus, they're setting up for SummerSlam, the civil war between Jay and Roman Reigns for the title, which Roman Reigns is retaining. Let's not be foolish here. It's not going to lose to Jay Uso. Brock Lesnar couldn't beat him. Drew McIntyre couldn't beat him. Cody Rhodes couldn't beat him. You're going to tell me Jey Uso is going to be the one to dethrone the Tribal Chief? Gil, don't make me laugh. It's ridiculous to even think it. So we already know how the outcome of that match is, and that's the main event for next Saturday. Yes, you heard right. Not Sunday anymore. Next Saturday. Saturdays are the premium live events like SummerSlam. Say WrestleMania, but those are 2 days because they got to milk the fucking audience. Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, all this shit going forward. SummerSlam's on a Saturday, a day after work, so I'll miss it and I'll have to see it. And avoid spoilers like Neo avoids bullets in The Matrix. in order to see it on Sunday afternoon and give my final critique and do maybe an episode, but it might be, I don't even know if I'll do that because that'll be a ways down the line and it'll probably be outdated at that point. I'll just give my rant on how I said it, think it sucked. Because SummerSlam, the card, excuse me, for my voice too, it's not doing too well. I've been coughing a lot. I think I'm getting sick. Anyway, the card's looking pretty lackluster. SummerSlam's looking like a joke. So, and they're in Detroit, where people love their violence there. I don't understand why you're doing such a lackluster card, but whatever. I'm not the booker. I don't make the decisions, but if I was, this would not be one of them. But the point of the matter is we need to talk about the relevancy, and that was the Great American Bash NXT. We'll go over the quick results. Tiffany Stratton beat Thea Hale and retained her title, thank God, because I wasn't ready to give up NXT. Ilya Dragunov lost to Carmelo Hayes. He retained his title, which I was very happy with, but it was a great match. It was a fantastic match. Both of those guys put their ass on the line, not just for the company, but for their careers. Like, you could tell. And not saying that that's what happened backstage. I'm just saying they fought, and this is why I like good wrestling matches. And this is why I talk about it on the podcast, even though some people may not like it. This is why I'm passionate about horror movies and wrestling. And when wrestling is this good, when two people fight like their jobs are actually on the line, not saying that that's what it was, but when two people actually fight like, oh shit, we may be let go tomorrow, that's great fucking wrestling. That's how it should be. That's how you get even people who may not like wrestling and who might be curious about it. That's how you bring them into the fold. With matches like that, not surrounding the ring with zombies, not throwing people off the top of a 16-story fucking scaffolding and risking death, not smashing people over the head with fluorescent light tubes that have chemical fucking shit in it that can kill you, that can cause cancerous pathogens that can kill you. Not sitting there and talking for 25 minutes before you have your first wrestling match. No, none of these things. What Carmelo Hayes and Ilya Dragunov did last night at the Great American Bash, as I record this, it was chef's kiss, good shit. That might even be match of the year contender as well. It is. The Thea Hale match and Tiffany Stratton, it was whatever. The tag match was good between, and I don't even like Don and the Don and his fucking crony from Italy versus Gallus. That was a good match, even though shenanigans somewhat happened. The Olympic gold medalist, I forgot the kid's name, but he fought Baron Corbin, and he got booed out of the fucking building. The only person that got more boos was Rey Mysterio's son, Dirty Dominic Mysterio, when he had his match, which he won, which is bullshit. The only other person that got more boos than him was the fucking Olympic kid. The Olympic kid, he they gave him all these accolades. NCAA National Wrestling Champion. Gold medalist winner at the last Olympics for wrestling. I never heard so many boos. Boo! I never thought Baron Corbin would be cheered like he's fucking LA Knight or Roman Reigns, but God, they're like, yeah! And most of the people don't even like 3 days ago they were booing him out of the building, and now they're rooting for him because they just hate the Olympic kid that much more. So stupid. But it's good stuff. It was good stuff. I had a good time with it. I laughed at the boos, but overall the show wasn't bad. It was better than Collision, and it was way, way, way better than Dynamite. And you can go, it's not fair, Pinhead, because that was a pay-per-view and those are two regular shows. You still put the effort in. And technically, if you want to go there, AEW had more hours of wrestling than than WWE did this year, this week, even with a pay-per-view. So what are you going to say about that? AEW had more wrestling hours clocked in technically, mathematically, and they still failed, and WWE had less, and they did better. Monday Night Raw was shit. Friday Night SmackDown was mediocre. So they lose those. But NXT was really good. The go-home show for NXT was really good, and the American Bash was good. So they win those. So let's look at it. We had AEW Dark, AEW Dynamite, two shit shows, down two right off the bat. AEW Collision, mediocre. Bam. AEW Rampage on Friday, always horrid. Okay? That's 3-2. Basic math tells us AEW did worse. So, I'm going with that. AEW only had one decent show. WWE had two more than decent shows. WWE wins this week, I'm sorry to say. But WWE won this week. Last week, the week of the Collision, they got their asses handed to them. We're the FTR and Bullet Club. But this week and last week, they kind of got their asses handed to them because Blood and Guts didn't live up to a lot of people's expectations. I know Solo Monster loved it. Well, I didn't love it, but he's like, and I respect Solo Monster, but this is where I disagree. That was lackluster, phoned-in bullshit, and I just don't accept it anymore for horror or wrestling. So we can move on. We're almost done. We're wrapping up. I won't address the rumors too much, but there are small rumors from whether they're a lot reliable source or not. Halloween may be getting a TV series. How you do this, I really don't know, because either way, whether it does the Friday the 13th TV series shit and you don't see Michael at all or Jason at all, and it's just like an episode of NCIS in the Friday the 13th, that won't work. No one will watch it. On the flip side of the coin, if you just have Michael killing every single episode, you're talking about Halloween Kills, that won't work. No one will really watch it. Except for the diehards like me and the nerds. So I don't know how you make a TV show. I'm not going to go any more in depth until I got more facts. And I'm going to really research this, guys, and see if this is a hoax. And it will be addressed either whether it's not a hoax or whether it is on the next episode. Because I'm doing major research. Plus, on the next episode, I will have finished Halloween Ends. I guarantee it. And I will discuss the differences between the book and the movie. We're really going to go in depth about it. Excuse me. Hopefully my throat's a lot better. I don't sound like a fucking prostitute sucking dick for nickels out on the street. But we'll see what happens next time. We'll also, I'll have a review, I'm hoping. I will have seen Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Mutant Mayhem, and I'm hoping I've seen Dead Rednecks by then. Because I'm trying to be nice and take my mother's mind off my grandmother's situation and take her to the movie theater this Sunday. You know, do something nice as a son would do for his mother. She's really stressing out, so I'm hoping we can get to see Turtles and Dead Rednecks. So we'll see what happens. But I will definitely have a review for Turtles Mutant Mayhem on the next episode, along with my review for Halloween Ends, the novel, and the differences. And hopefully I'll have something to talk about for Cyberpunk, because I just got into Cyberpunk, so I just bought it. And also, we'll next time talk about the new Twisted Metal series, because I'm halfway through it, and I'm telling you, you want to talk about a fucking dog's dinner. God, it's fucking garbage. But we'll get into the reasons why, and I'll give articulate points of why this movie is, or this show is cringe. Anybody can watch it for themselves right now. I implore you, go watch it. We'll watch it together on our time off, and we'll come back and we'll discuss it. Plus, in the next episode, I'll discuss the finale of Secret Douchebag, because I've got a lot to say about that piece of shit. So, we're out of time. I love you guys. I thank you for sticking with me for this time you have, you know, listening to this idiot ramble on about nothing. You guys have a good day. Take it easy on yourselves. And peace. I'll see you in the next one. Love you. Get it.